First up continues here on TSN 1050. Aaron Korolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. It's the Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. Game on TSN 4. And our hockey insider, Coco, Darren Dreger, saying that the outcome of the Spezza in-person hearing to be determined, I guess, this afternoon. Plus, in perhaps more relevant news, actually certainly more relevant news, sounds like Mitch Marner may be out for another week, maybe two. That is indeed breaking news, and that's not good news for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Clearly, Mitch Marner, one of the best players on the team, one of the best players in the National Hockey League. So I guess the question is, with Marner out, Spezza will be suspended, so they'll be without two of their top offensive forwards. I think that's fair to say, considering everything we've seen from Spezza and Marner. What do they do in lieu of their absences? And I know you kind of gave the idea that Josh Hosang could get the opportunity being called up from the Toronto Marlies, and maybe that's something that happens.
Well, look, I think they have to explore every option right now. I know there's people that are suggesting that I don't know that Josh Hosang is not on an NHL contract. That shouldn't stop him from getting a chance. It's a real easy conversion if the Maple Leafs believe that he's the guy they want to give the chance to. All you got to do is sign him to a two-way contract, and that transaction is all done with just a simple signature. And look, you're talking about replacing two guys that have been, you know, consistent contributors to this Maple Leafs team in their early season success. Mitch Marner and Jason Spezza. Jason Spezza is potentially not going to be available from somewhere close to five games, considering he's got an in-person hearing. You got to think that Mitch Marner's update right now from Darren Dreger, missing one, potentially two more weeks, that's another four or five games in the schedule. How are you going to help replace that offense? I think this is a great opportunity. If they really believe in giving Josh Hosang a chance, I mean, this is the time for them to do it, because he's a guy that has shown during his preseason that he looked good playing with this group, and even during his time with the Marlies right now, he's played 15 games. He's got 9 goals and 4 assists, and I think he's definitely earned a chance to come up and see if he can play in the top 6 right now with this group, because they're missing two of their top power play guys.
Absolutely. And you look at the Leafs lines prior to the game against the Jets. I mean, it was Bunting, Matthews, and Spezza on the top line. Spezza replacing the injured Mitch Marner. And we know Marner's out tonight, and perhaps as many as 2 weeks, reported by Darren Dreger. Jason Spezza will be suspended today. It's just a matter of how long he'll be out. I mean, Andre Kasha did get a look on the top line at points during that game against the Jets. Maybe they move him up. Maybe they move Simmons to the third line and figure something out on the fourth line. But I think there's a lot of questions that remain to be answered as far as the Toronto Maple Leafs lineup tonight. And we haven't even mentioned, I mean, we have mentioned throughout the course of the morning, but at least in the last couple of minutes, that Rasmus Sandin will be out 2 to 3 weeks. So does not necessarily mean, what we'll see is Travis Dermott sliding into the lineup in his stead. But, I mean, clearly the depth of the Maple Leafs defense a little bit under fire right now. And there's just six healthy defensemen. And then you talk about a collection of guys who are unproven or untested with the Toronto Marlies, who the Leafs could look at. And I guess we'll have to see how that plays out tonight.
And look, they've got their work cut out for them against the Columbus Blue Jackets, who come in tonight as a team that has, I would say, overachieved this year, considering not many people pegged them to be anywhere close to as good as they are right now, and credit to them. Maple Leafs have lost 2 games in a row, and they're dealing with some adversity right now. This is a great opportunity for a guy like Nick Ritchie to step up, and Wayne Simmons to play more of an elevated role, Andre Kasha to maybe move up into the lineup. Their depth is definitely tested right now. So we'll see how this all plays out in the morning with some of the news after morning skate on, Sheldon Keefe addressing it, maybe Kyle Dubas addressing it. But this is setting up to be a pretty interesting week for Maple Leafs and their fans. But I'm just reading right now, yesterday, the Vancouver Canucks played their first game under new head coach Bruce Boudreaux, and there was an amazing chant that went on during the game yesterday, and it was the fans celebrating the hiring of Bruce Boudreau and, you know, the new direction this team is heading away from Jim Benning and his regime, they were chanting, "Bruce, there it is." So probably playing the "Hoop, There It Is" song, but Bruce, this guy like might that. Turn out to be a fan favorite there in Vancouver if he can duplicate the success, at least, or replicate the success that they had in their first game under him with an impressive 4-0 win over the LA Kings.
I think they also chant that outside the Toronto Star offices for our friend Bruce Arthur as well. So that's my understanding as well. Bruce, yes. Boudreau. That's a hard name to say, Bruce Boudreau. You got to be very careful when you say it, because you could say Bruce Boudreau pretty easily. It's a tough one.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Bruce. We'll talk to Matt Chatham, 3-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots. He now works for the New England Sports Network. We'll get his take on everything that transpired last night in Western New York. The weather was terrible, but the result was excellent for the New England Patriots, winning 14-10. Matt Chatham next on First Up.
He takes the step. Patriots come with extra rushers. A throw down the middle, and it's knocked incomplete by Miles Bryant. The Patriots brought Devin McCourty on the blitz, and Allen threw toward the left side of the hash marks at the 5, and Miles Bryant, the only player nearby, as he squatted it down.
When you see a stat line of 2 for 3 for a Boston athlete, maybe you think of Manny Ramirez or David Ortiz or Rafael Devers of the Boston Red Sox. Probably not Mac Jones, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, who, yes, completed just 2 of 3 passes last night. The Pats beat the Bills 14-10 in some very difficult, very windy conditions. And to look back on the game, we welcome in 3-time Super Bowl champion from Nesson down in New England. It is Matt Chatham back on First Stop. What's going on, Matt?
Wild night. I don't think we'll ever see one like that again. That was nuts.
So you grew up in Iowa. You played a long time in the NFL. What were some of the craziest conditions in any game you played in?
So I went to the University of South Dakota. Did grow up in Iowa in high school, and we played a game at North Dakota up at in Bismarck. And North Dakota is the outdoor stadium. North Dakota State's the Fargo Dome. So North Dakota has, you're basically in this just like open field with a couple stands on each side. And we played in a game that got delayed multiple times for lightning. And it was, 10 degrees outside or whatever the heck it was, but we're freezing and we're wet. Well, I guess it couldn't be 10 if it wet, but it was cold and wet is all I recall. But going back in and out of the locker room, hey, we're going to come out and try a quarter now. And then we tried a little and then we went back in, but I don't ever remember being so miserable on a football field in my life. I don't know, the whole ordeal took like 6 hours. So that's the nightmare in my head from football.
Well, last night, one of the craziest games you'll ever see. It was not entertaining. Let's put it bluntly. That was not an entertaining football game. The New England Patriots ran 49 total plays last night, Matt. 46 of them were run plays. And I think we all expected a run-heavy focus for Belichick and McDaniels. But did you expect anything like that?
No, and I think from their comments, from Coach Belichick's comments this morning here locally on radio and some of this post-game stuff, they didn't either. It's not as if they planned to do that. It was more of a pivot based on conditions and based on what you saw in about that first quarter or so. Part of the information is the trouble the Bills had the moments they tried to pass it early. There was that one Jonu Smith completion that they did have, but you watch the ball just, looks like a – like a boomerang, like it takes off and sort of takes a different plane as where it started, and he reels it in basically with one hand. You're like, lucky to have pulled that thing down. And then they had the N'Keal Harry thing with the punt where the ball's bounced around. It's crazy. It hits his head, and that ends up being, basically the biggest offensive play for the day for the Bills. So I think what happens those moments, you go, ooh, ball handling, nightmare today. We ain't ball handling. And that's kind of it. So it's less about, and I think that's the thing that people miss a little with the notion of pass or not the pass. There's an exchange often from the gun, which is difficult to do from under center with the wind. Then there's you got to throw the thing, but it's not even just can the guy throw it there. Can it be handled well? Is it going to be batted up into the air? Is it going to be tipped? Are we going to catch, turn, and get it punched out? That was the risk element that they said, we don't need to do it. Now, granted, the Patriots could run the football the way they do, well, then never mind, you can't do that. If they couldn't defend the way they do, well, you can't do that. But they can do both those things. So I think they just opted to do the most risk-averse approach, and they were built to do it.
Matt, how would you analyze yesterday's game? Obviously, it was a 14-10 win for the Patriots, but would you look at it, it was a self-inflicted loss for the Bills, or was this just a game plan that they just executed to perfection for the Patriots?
Yeah, I'd say just the latter. The perfection, listen, I think Buffalo in a neutral, you know, say we're going to be here December 26th, I believe it is, back this way with the guys playing again. Say if it's 25 degrees and no wind on that day, different story. You know, it'll play on a more even playing field. But for what happened last night, New England's built far better to beat the Bills, and just because they could impose will. And I don't – Buffalo doesn't have – the offensive line and the back group to necessarily line up. And maybe we just insistence that the offense must run through Josh. That would be a very, very difficult move to do. To imagine if Buffalo said, hey, we're going to do what New England did. I mean, if it didn't work, I would imagine that market would be up in arms. Because, hey, you got Josh Allen. You pay him all this money. You have to throw it. You're obligated somehow, right? But, no, I think this is just more you had a bizarro, weird night of weather, and New England is built to do particularly that quite well. Now, granted, if they end up in like 230 yards rushing or something like that, if you're getting to a point where it's three and out over and over and over again several series in, they would have had to have pivoted, but they couldn't. So I think that's really more what it's about. Now, granted, if Buffalo had turned around and ground and churned out multi-hundred yardage on the ground, then this game would have turned, but they weren't able to do that.
Matt Chatham is our guest. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, now working for the New England Sports Network. And Matt, you know what I think is really interesting about this game, and I think the Patriots season as a whole, and I think this game is representative of at least a semblance of the idea that Belichick had in the offseason, you mean going out and signing those tight ends, really beefing up the offensive line, drafting a running back. It's playoff-style, late-season games like last night. And I think last night, you're right, it was an anomaly. I mean, the weather was so bad. It was crazy. Yeah. Mac Jones threw three passes. I still can't get over that. They ran 49 plays. Mac Jones threw three passes.
And they won.
But clearly, this is kind of how Belichick envisioned this team in the second half to play, just grind teams down in the run game, bring in all these offensive linemen. They have behemoths up front. And the whole plan has been executed to perfection, especially if they're able to get that number one seed in the AFC. They're playing home games in Foxborough. The weather's not going to be Floridian, right? I mean, it's not going to be beautiful temperatures or great weather then as well. So I think the Patriots are in a great spot, and I think Belichick deserves a lot of credit, not only for the coaching, but also for his managing.
Yeah, I think one of the wild things that happened in last night's game is you mentioned sort of all the new upgrades and changes, and oddly enough, I mean, those upgrades and changes offensively have been a massive part of the story that got them back into this race, you know, the last month and a half of football. But, you know, Nelson Agholor had virtually no role last night. Kendrick Bourne had virtually no role. Both tight ends blocked for the evening. You know, Jonah Smith made the one-handed grab. But probably your biggest addition that played a huge role is Trent Brown at right tackle. And, you know, their fortunes offensively changed significantly once they got that sort of steadying force and just unusual body type there. And they have this unusual thing going on their own roster that I actually throughout the week talked about. It reminded me a lot of Jason Peters. So I played against Jason just at the beginning of his career, tail end of mine, when he was still a tight end for Buffalo. And that was an absolute nightmare. That was a 300-pound tight end, which is insanity. And obviously now he goes on and he'll be a Hall of Famer with the Eagles as a left tackle. But they have Mike Owenu with kind of not knowing what to do with this guy. He's one of the higher-graded linemen in the NFL, but he's the sixth guy now. So they have an unusual situation, and they really hammered that point. But last night was a night where most of the new additions weren't really what they rode around. It was more just offensive line continuity. And I think relative to Buffalo, that's something they've got going for them. Now, they're not a strong run-blocking group, but no. With Spencer Brown back last night, Feliciano presumably with, you know, going forward health at left guard, they're going to have their main configuration, their preference later in the year. So I think, you know, they're going to be more pass heavy on days where it's not so wild like that. And I think we will probably see their norm again moving forward.
So Matt, you played for the Patriots, you played for Belichick. help us understand, you know, what goes on with Bill Belichick preparing for a game like that. Like, what is the week like preparing for, you know, a number one seed matchup with a young team, with a team that is on a 6-game winning streak, going into a Monday night game on the road with so much on the line to playing no conditions? In your experiences with that, how does Belichick help you prepare for that?
Well, I mean, obviously you're hoping for a week of weather that's comparable to what you saw in stadium. Now, it wasn't quite that bad here. I live out in the burbs, kind of low country, I guess, outside of Foxborough. And I get crazy winds here. I mean, we were getting gusts of 45 and 50 miles an hour last night ourselves. So, you know, you get a windy practice field is kind of what I'm going at. It wasn't perfect. You're not going to get it as wild as it was in Buffalo. But his thing is always to go throw you out in something that's a proximity to what you're going to face. Not that Sean McDermott wouldn't do the same, and not the Buffalo players weren't, you know, prepared the same way. But one thing I think with Bill is really just it's the emotional screws that are always put to you, so the game day feels less stressful. And I think they really, really press guys, and some guys aren't built for it. Some guys don't love that. Some guys would prefer to play in a different place, but they try to get the guys that are sort of ready for that kind of stuff. One thing I would say relative to Bill, though, with preparation, independent of the practice week, pregame is so incredibly important. You saw Nick Folk, who made his two kicks, not attempt. They went for the two-point conversion on that first touchdown at, I don't know you guys' directions there, if that's the north or south end zone or east-west, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The one away from the player tunnel. The one away from the player tunnel, they purposely went for two. They turned and did their two kicks back the other direction, and Nick nailed both of those. And granted, it was still, you know, a sidewinder kind of thing. But that's what Bill does in pregame. He'll be out there an hour and a half before, stand with the kicker, see where he's hitting, see where he struggles, see what the distances are, and he'll stand with the passers as well. You know, go through their pregame workout, and, you know, oof, deep outs, oof, they're sailing. You know, they're flying all over the place. It's, you know, crazy ball. We're not doing that. So a lot of it is getting the guys ready to go, but then being an on-the-field guy about, okay, I don't like what I just saw there. We're not going to do that with, you know, the crazy element of actual live play. So he takes a lot of that information in pregame, puts a lot of stock in it, and will completely change the game plan on the fly if he deems it necessary.
What a fascinating season in the AFC. You think about the Kansas City Chiefs, who have now won 5 games in a row after starting their season 3-4. The Patriots have won 7 in a row after starting 1-4. I would have to think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, you are an analyst in New England. I'm sure you guys talk about this stuff all the time, but do you think the Patriots should be the favorite to come out of the AFC at this point in time?
You know, it's a tough call. It's probably going to come down to more who they play. You know, obviously Buffalo has there's still a lot of respect for that team. That we know that yesterday was weird. You can call it an anomaly, whatever. But in different conditions, that's going to be a huge matchup here in a few weeks. But they do have to go travel to Indianapolis. So it's climate control, different style of game. That's going to be a very difficult one for them. You know, a run test, you know, stopping Jonathan Taylor and all that kind of stuff. But Buffalo's got a short week travel to Tampa now, and that is a beast. You know, that's a tough game, especially without Tre'Davious White. They're going to now have their sort of secondary depth test a little more than yesterday's game would have ever gotten into. So I think the path to the Patriots winning this AFC East got a little easier. Yesterday ended up being a pretty big deal. But if Kansas City is the only other question, they've got some comparable tough. I don't have the schedule in front of you, but I believe that, you know, they bounce around the AFC West here and play a few of their rivals down the stretch. So they've got a few tough ones. But if it's, you know, I guess just because they're the incumbent, because they're the one that we're already in that spot, and because of the Patrick Mahomes sort of factor, I guess people will presume them to be the favorite. But we still got a lot of football left to play. Let's put it that way. The Patriots have to go to Miami, which is their which who cares how Miami's playing at any time. That is their sort of black hole. They struggle there. And if the season comes down to answering the question you just asked with them versus Kansas City down to a traveling game in Miami, a lot of people here will be nervous. That's not usually a good place for them. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, you know, if you talk about the Patriots and where they were last year in post-Brady era, there was a lot of criticism about the way they built that team and Cam Newton under center. And then, you know, this year they do things out of the ordinary. They're the big spenders in free agency. They draft Mac Jones. And, You know, Mac Jones right now, people are comparing him because of the numbers that he's putting up to Tom Brady in his rookie year. Where do you evaluate Mac Jones and the ceiling and the potential that he could reach? I mean, I don't see him being a guy that can replicate the numbers that Tom Brady can, you know, put up through his career, but clearly he's a guy that's worked under good systems in college and, you know, has been blessed in the NFL to come in and play under a good system there. So do you just view him as a guy that's a good system quarterback, or is this guy a star in the making?
No, he's a great player. And I think one of the things that gets really overplayed in the NFL is sort of the arm talent stuff, which is a far less important quality than decision-making and accuracy. Decision-making and accuracy is quarterbacking. Arm talent's just like a little accoutrement. It's a little add-on. And it's nice, but, I mean, you look at a guy like Drew Brees, so keep us independent of Tom. Drew Brees' body is a lot closer to Max. Drew Brees' arm strength is much closer to Max. But what made Drew a Hall of Famer? You know, by the way, I'm not saying Mac Jones is going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm not going there yet. Mm-hmm. That's not at all what I'm saying, or even a Pro Bowler. But what I'm saying is the quality of being able to dissect and deliver accurately over and over and over again, to be in front of the play down after down, that matters so much more than how hard you throw it or how well you can run out of the pocket. That stuff is secondary to what quarterbacking really is. And I think Tom obviously realized that and really drilled in on his pocket movement and things like that to really become the GOAT. But I think the lesson is what quarterbacking really is. And the really good ones in this league are play action quarterbacks. You know, the teams that they'll have their down years. Look at Russell Wilson. He's struggling out west. Aaron Rodgers is buoyed or whatever by an excellent running game with either Aaron Jones or the big guy from Boston College, AJ Dillon. That's what makes this work for all the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So I think if Mac is in an air quote system, it's the system everyone's in. You know, Alvin Kamara made a lot of those plays possible for Drew as well. It's just football is best played with a complementary approach and a lot of play action, and Mac's really good at that.
He is Matt Chatham, one of the best in the business. You can follow him on Twitter at Chatham58. He is an analyst for the Patriots, the NFL, for the New England Sports Network. And Matt, as always, we appreciate you taking the time for us. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Matt Chatham. Great, great insight. He also an MBA. I mean, that is impressive stuff. Guy played in the NFL, has 3 Super Bowl rings, and is an MBA. Good luck finding some of this accomplishment. Like, I have friends who did an MBA and, like, insane stuff. I mean, like, yeah. Listen, I'm not a guy who's extraordinarily well-educated. I do radio for a living, so, you know, there's that. But, yeah, Matt Chatham, very smart guy. And, again, we appreciate his time. We would encourage you to go follow him because he's got some great insights on the Patriots and the NFL as
so well. If you're crediting him for being smart, clearly it's a smart thing not to play in frigid temperatures, right? Because he wasn't a fan of it.
And he was not a fan of it. I don't think anyone's a fan of playing in bad weather.
Hell no, man.
No, especially last night. I mean, I can't wait for this game on Sunday for the Bills and the Bucks. That's going to be an incredible game. Brady versus Allen. And I hope the Bills can get good bounce back. The last thing I'd want to see is the Bills miss the playoffs, which actually doesn't seem that crazy at this point in time. If they were to lose on Sunday, it would probably be like a 50-50 proposition one way or the other. So that's not good for Bills Mafia. And you may be looking for a new Halloween costume for next October, my friend. We'll wrap Bill things Mafia up here on First Up with the latest on Mitch Marner's status, courtesy of our hockey insider, Darren Dreger. That's next on First Up. Give me the Leafs and the Blue Jackets tonight on TSN4. Pumped for that game, although Mitch Marner will be out, and it sounds like, this according to TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger, that Marner will be out for a week, perhaps 2 weeks, with whatever is afflicting him. We haven't really got a determination on that. Maybe it's a lower body injury. Maybe it's an upper body injury, but he had some kind of collision with Jake Muzzin in practice last week, and he missed both games over the weekend against Minnesota and against Winnipeg, and he will miss tonight as well, and who knows how much more. So that's not good for the Leafs. Also not good for the Leafs is that Rasmus Sandin is out 2 to 3 weeks with a knee injury suffered on that collision with Neil Pionk, and Jason Spezza will be suspended for a period of time a little bit later today as he has an in-person hearing after the collision with Neil Pionk after the whole thing with Sandin went down. So not exactly a good confluence of events for the Toronto Maple Leafs, down three of their big contributors, clearly Marner, the most noteworthy of the three. But I don't know, could be a good test for the Leafs, man. Honestly, I'm looking at it, and I kind of like betting on Columbus tonight. They are
good value.
I mean, plus 230 for Columbus. You get them to win in regulation, plus 360. I mean, I don't know. I don't generally like to bet against the Leafs, and I still think they'll probably win. I mean, Auston Matthews is good for at least a goal. It's already 1-0 Leafs, so that's going to be a challenge for them. And Jack Campbell's in goal. You have Auston Matthews, and you have Jack Campbell. So the two best players in that game will be for the Leafs, and it's going to be tough for Columbus to contain those two. But, I mean, beyond that, the Leafs are a little bit shorthanded tonight, and we'll be looking for that game on TSN4 with probably Dave Poulin, who'll join us tomorrow morning for Leafs Breakfast at 7:45. So enjoy your days. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Thanks to 20 Fingers. Thanks to Arad. For Carlo Kuliakovo, I'm Aaron Karolnik, and we wrap today's show with a
bang!
Bang!
And a chow.